happy to be here, and we're very happy to have the brethren from Trinidad with us.
Amen.
And I want to welcome them and pray God's blessings upon them.
Amen.
I have no announcements, so if you would stand with me, please. Have a few prayer requests. The first one being for Karen's, my wife's aunt. We just found out that she has cancer of the breast. She's going to be having surgery next week. And the family's very concerned for her. We want to ask God to bless that.
Amen.
Surgery wouldn't even be required. Also, there's a young lady at school with my wife by the name of Chom Sung, who became pregnant while taking one of the courses, and the course involves some toxic chemicals. And so there is some question as to the health of the unborn, and we want to ask God to bless that little baby and protect it. Let it be healthy and whole. Also, we have two other requests that are related. The first one is for Katie Lanzotti, the girl that Brother Paul has been talking to. She says she wants to be baptized. So we're very thankful for that, and we want to ask God to continue to move in her life. Also, I have a friend by the name of Pam Kane who has been stopping by my house now for the last couple of months, off and on, and she stopped by today and I had a very good talk with her, and it is very obvious that God is dealing with her. God is calling her. And she's afraid. She's afraid about her husband and when I spoke to her today, I said, Pam, that voice that's calling you, if you turn it down enough, it will quit calling. Mm-hmm. She looked at me, and she had been crying, and she said, it'll be too late then, won't it? I said, yeah, it'll be too late then. So I told her about the meeting. She was at the dedication last year and got to hear Brother Dial. And so we want to pray for her. That I know she's afraid. Her husband, Ronnie Kane, was my very best friend growing up. And it would be probably more than I could handle if I could have that young man come into this message. But so I know she's afraid. There's a price to pay. And but anything that you don't have to pay for is cheap and doesn't have a whole lot of value. So let us lift these people up, that every need that they have would be met, because we, the bride, simply ask Him. And we must believe that He loves us and that it is His good pleasure to give us our heart's desire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and gather in your name. And what a blessing it is to be able to gather with saints from around the world that believe the revealed truths of this hour. And as the I Am continues to unfold daily, those that can follow that pillar of fire, Lord, what a joy. And what a foretaste of glory divine. So, Lord, we thank you for the saints from Trinidad that would go to all the trouble and expense to come and be with us. We are honored beyond words. We are very honored that Brother Ben would come to speak to us. And, Father, we want you to bless them abundantly for their service to us, and Father, we ask your blessings upon the meeting tonight and throughout the rest of the week. And Lord, may you just anoint the hearing, that, Lord, we wouldn't have any trouble understanding Brother Ben's accent, and yet, Lord, we want to hear from you. And we believe, Lord, that we're not here to hear Brother Ben. We're here to hear the Son of Man. And we are expectant, Lord. We know that we have need. We need inspiration. We need the Scriptures open to us that we might have faith for this day. Lord, please come and be with us. Have your way with us. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we have need that we present to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit to you my wife and I's Aunt Lou with the breast cancer. Father, the family's very fearful, but they do not know you. But Karen and I do know you, and we believe in you, and we believe in what you have done and accomplished. We believe in the victory that you have over death and all sickness. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do curse the cancer that's at work in Lou's body. And we know and believe that you are more than able to have that cancer leave her body miraculously before they operate. And Father, that is what we ask. We ask, Lord, for her. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. We commit to you the little lady, Chom Sum, and her unborn baby. We commit it to the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we command that all the toxic chemicals that she's been exposed to would have no effect upon that little child in the womb. We command that that child would be whole and healthy and normal in every way. Father, we command it to be so in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. Lord, the two young ladies who have been under the influence of the Word and under the influence of your Spirit and conviction, Katie and Pam, Father, in Jesus' name, continue to move, continue to call, and grant them the faith and the courage to do what they must. Though the world will hate them, let them count it worthy, Lord.
Amen.
Let faith rise in their heart that they could obey you. And take that first step of identifying with you in baptism. Lord, holding you to the promise of death, burial, and resurrection. Grant it, Father. We commit them both to you. And we say, oh God, let faith come to them. We thank you, Lord, that they are under that conviction. Grant us wisdom, that we might always be able to say the right thing. Oh Lord, lead them, that we might always be a right example. Now, Lord, come. We love you with all of our heart. There is nothing that we want more than to be perfect reflections of you. You are the only thing that is worth knowing. You are the only thing that we have to give to one another and to the world is you. Lord, we want more of you and we want less of ourselves. Father, that has to be your doing. But you promise that you would cause us to walk in your way and in your statutes and in your laws. Grant it. Speak to us the word that would create in us the faith to be as you are. Father, we thank you because we believe and we are under expectation that you will grant our requests. Thank you, Lord, for every one of them. Come now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And she came in and sat down and started crying. What's wrong with you, man? All emotional. But you know, God ain't in that. God's in His Word. We're going to have old Red Face with us. And I know she's writing out lots of new songs, but I tell you what, the first song I want to hear is I want to hear about old Enoch. Can you come and Nancy sing about Enoch?
Oh, Lord, I know we're going home soon.
of Dial didn't think much of our singers the last time he was here, so he brought some of his own. And I want Brother Dial to come now, and I'll just turn the service over to him. If you want to have any of your people sing now, that's fine. However you feel that, all right? Come, brother.
Certainly appreciate being here tonight. You know, coming here this time has been really, I believe, the will of the Lord. And, you know, I feel good to be here and to look upon your faces and look forward even for the time that we would spend together in God's presence.
Amen.
I remember the two brothers here, I met them the last time, and I really appreciate seeing them here again tonight.
Amen.
And, you know, it's just so good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I know we have a brother and sister that, you know, sings here, and I was thinking, you know, maybe tonight they could get together with the musicians, you know, it might be a little different for them, and maybe tomorrow night, the Lord willing, they would sing. Amen?
Amen.
So I would just like to introduce them, they who have traveled with us to be here. Brother Adonis Williams, he's one of the brothers that sings.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Anthony Hudson, he's one of the trustees in the church back home. Brother Brian Rawlingson, this is the second time, I believe, he has been here. And we have Sister Judy Ross over here, and her sister, Sister Suzanne Ross.
Amen.
And Sister Margaret Weston, she sings also, so she'll be singing for us maybe during the course of the service. And then my wife and my little baby.
Amen.
Here also. Amen. So we bring you greetings from the saints back in Trinidad. And Brother Joseph sends special greetings to all the saints that is here. He would have liked to come very much, but it's been kind of difficult for him at this time. And, you know, we trust that he'll be able to come another time because he's hoping to be married soon, maybe sometime in June, the Lord willing. And we've just been very happy for him because he looked forward to that for a very long time. I know many of you all who had the privilege to meet him and fellowship with him, you know, he really appreciate you all here very much. So this time, just like to stand. I told Brother Shannon, you know, that I didn't expect to really preach tonight. I just wanted to maybe, you know, sort of, as a little sort of introduction, and maybe just speak a few things upon my heart before we get into the services, which I believe, you know, from tomorrow night. But, you know, something happened last night, and, you know, it just confirmed to me the will of God being here and, you know, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So I just kind of want to maybe speak a little bit about that tonight, and then look forward and see how the Holy Spirit is going to work things out. Truly, you know, just coming into Columbus Airport last night and then being with the brothers right away, the Holy Spirit just, you know, made things so real that it was His will for us to be here. So I would like to just ask the bow our heads and close our eyes as we look unto the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we stand here just speaking these few words to your people, we know that you are hearing every word that we speak. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you made it possible for us to be here again. You know the desire of our hearts and the appreciation we hold so dear. Lord, the memories of the saints and the time that we spent together and how we anticipated another time, Lord. And here it is already happening. We are gathered together in heavenly places. And Lord God, we have come and we have seen that you have blessed your children. You have been with them, Lord, and you have taken care of them, watched over them, and you protected them, Lord, during this past year while we were absent one from the other. And Lord, as we have come back and united again, Lord, make our hearts beat high with joy and anticipation. And just coming in last night and seeing your Holy Spirit, Lord, in simplicity, Lord, just give him a witness and confirmation that this was in your mind and you ordained that we should be together at this time. Father, it makes us, Lord, look with expectation to see what you will do amongst us. We don't know what you will do, but Lord, we report for duty and service. We yield ourselves unto you as best as we know how, Father. We don't want to be in the way. We just want the Spirit of God to move amongst us. And whether it's in fellowship, Lord, during the day, whether it's in the services at night time, whether it's while we drive along the road, whatever it is, Father, that your presence will be felt amongst us in such a way. And Lord, your bringing of us together at this time would be so edifying to us, Lord. Lord, when we'll have to part again, we'll be able to go knowing in our hearts it was good to be together. Lord God, it was worth it the while that we could come and tarry one with the other. We've seen the Bible many times how Paul desired, Lord, to be with the saints at different places, Lord. Lord, we are not Paul, but Lord God, we know you're the same God, with the same kind of people, in the same kind of hour, believing the same kind of message. And Lord, the scriptures was given there, we could identify ourselves in it. And Lord, we could have a tight post and we could see how you are leading us again in this hour. And Father, when we see these things, it encourages our hearts. So we look forward tonight, Lord, in this little time of fellowship, as we sit in your presence, you would speak to our hearts and you would give witness, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, to the thing that you have shown unto us in this hour, and that it might be a blessing and encouragement and edification to this part of your bride. We pray and we ask these things as you wait before you now, in Jesus' precious name, and for your sake. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. We'd like to read out to you the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I was speaking a little bit on this scripture Sunday morning before I left just kind of a little farewell to the saints back at home and getting ready to come on this trip. And, you know, in the hotel room this evening, the Holy Spirit just kind of put this upon my heart and says, you know, just speak right out to here again and maybe just, you know, give a little testimony so we just trust by the grace of God that it would be a blessing to all of us. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me toward you, how that by a revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So notice there was a dispensation, then there was a revelation for that dispensation. It was being made known to Paul, and it was a mystery of Christ. You see, it was not revealed in times before, as it was now being revealed at that present time to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. May the Lord have done through his word, you may have a seat. Well, as I was saying, we look forward to being here by the grace of God, and we are here now, and you know, what was something that was ahead of us when the invitation was sent by Brother Shannon, and I received it, and it was my heart to come at the same time, because the very night I received the letter, I didn't go to service that night. We normally have a Wednesday night service where we play a tape. Our official service days are really Thursdays and Sundays. And I stayed home that night, and I was kind of cleaning up my office a little bit, and, you know, going through some old mail and packing away things. You know, sometimes, you know, things just get kind of topsy-turvy and you just want to put things in order. And I was kind of, you know, looking at some old letters. And there was a couple of the old letters that were sent from here. So I took up one and I began to read, and I began to read another and began to read another. And just the feeling in my heart that, you know, sometimes you would read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit would just bless you and, you know, make it so fresh and so real in your heart. And while I was there reading the letters that night, you know, I just felt such an urge in my heart to call Brother Shannon. And I, you know, was there, and I got up, I went to the phone, and something happened, like I didn't call. I couldn't remember exactly what, but I was just there, you know, thinking about the letters, and then service was taking place up at the church, and I was just there cleaning up the place. And then my wife came home from service, and she brought this letter, because my mail has come to her old address, you see. So when she brought the letter home, I looked at the letter, and I saw the address from the tabernacle here right away. So, you know, I said, but isn't that strange? Look what was in my heart, because God had been dealing with me, you know, since January, with certain things in the scriptures and the message, and it had been just a blessing to us in the church. So I thought then that I would call up Shannon, because it's been a year since I've been here the last time, and it was coming on Easter, and I wonder what they'll be doing for the Easter, you know. So I didn't call, and those things were in my heart, and when the letter came, I opened the letter and I began to read, and here he was inviting me to come to have some services, the 9th to the 12th. Now, what have happened was that I had an invitation in Canada at Brother Biscoll, and we had a date set tentatively for the 9th to the 12th to come and have services, or if we couldn't work it out, we were going to try to have it for the Easter. But back in the church, I had two weddings. One was the 4th, which took place last week, Saturday, and one is going to be the 16th. So it was kind of putting me in a difficult situation. So I couldn't go out and, you know, just maybe just spend a few days and come back, because I wanted to go out and spend a little while. So I thought, well, look, I wouldn't be able to travel for this time, because I want to stay and, you know, have these two weddings with the people. So what happened was that I decided, well, look, I am going to just tell Brother Biscoll we're not going to have no services, and the brothers in the States, they were expecting me to come, and they're going to have a dedication. But they had that dedication service the 19th to the 22nd of March, that was last month, in Tucson, Arizona, a little church I visit there, a Spanish church. So what happened is that the brother called me up. I told myself, well, I can't make it because, you know, I'm kind of tied up. And then we were expecting some brothers from Africa who is going to be in the States, you know, and they wanted to pass in at our place there, because I've been to their country, preaching the churches, and was hoping that on this particular trip they'd be able to come and visit us. So everything was kind of tied up. So when the letter came, I saw, well, the only thing I could do was, I'm going to come and preach with Shannon, let everybody else stay out. I'm going to come and preach those 3 days of services, maybe leave the 7th and come back home about the 12th, you know, the 13th rather, and come back home. So, because I was kind of boxed in, you know, between the two weddings. So I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. So I saw it, I said, but, you know, is that something strange? Because, look, I wasn't going to travel because it was going to be too short, and I canceled the other meetings. And then this letter came just when I had the desire in my heart to call Brother Shannon. And then God is dealing with me with certain things in the scriptures that I would have liked to preach, you know, and share with the saints here, that I know it would have been a blessing to them, you know. So all those things that it just seems that the Lord had kind of worked it to come here. So just after that happened, you know, I decided, well, I'm going to come, and I wanted to attend some church business in Georgia, because we wanted to check out a place, some religious products company that they have there, you know, and we wanted to take out a duplicator to get it repaired and different things. So I thought, well, I was going to go there, and we was going to do that, and I asked one of the brothers there, Brother Williams, to come and travel with me. But a little while after, the brother who was going to get married on the 16th, he decided to cancel the wedding to, you know, a little later date, which was the 25th. So I says, man, why didn't you tell me that before? Because, you know, we're going to be able to have a little extra time to stay longer. And the way that I had my ticket arranged was just to be able to come here and come back home. So we went to the airline and we asked them for a little extension, if they would allow us to change the itinerary in the ticket. Well, they agreed. And then, so I would be able to go to Georgia and visit the brothers in Tucson over the other weekend. So then what happened, then a couple of the other saints, they realized, well, look, we'd be kind of traveling and, you know, the trip is not so short after all. So then they was able to be included, you know, on the itinerary, and God just seemed to work it out for them. So, you know, I holding those things in my heart that I wanted to come and preach, and you know, I've been preaching on the book of Esther since in January. The Holy Spirit just came and began to reveal certain things out of the book of Esther. You know, I've never really, I just preach kind of light, you know, things, but never really take it as a book and study it. And when the Holy Spirit came and began to open up certain things in there, I didn't fully understand at the time what was happening. You know, sometimes to you normally study the word and you have the responsibility to preach the word and feed the flock. So sometimes things have been revealed to you and it's just a, well, you know, like revelation, you know, things to preach and things to kind of remind the people and admonishing the people and these things. Well, what happened was, I didn't know a little while afterwards something of a great phenomenon was going to happen. And I started to preach those things by faith in the church. And, you know, one day in particular, something struck me in preaching the book of Esther from January. Then I preached all the latter part of January and into February. And then February the 19th, which was a Thursday, you know, I had just finished a series of services in a little town called Prince's Town back in Trinidad with a church there, you know, that I used to have fellowship with them. And they had arranged 5 days meetings, and we went and we had those services. So I came back, was very tired. The meetings had finished the Wednesday. We had service the Thursday night. And I wanted to continue in the book of Esther in service. So I said, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, so I would just kind of push it to light. But the Lord came and spoke something to my heart. I was kind of very strange. Now, you know, in coming here the last couple of times and being able to talk with the brothers and fellowship, I noticed that, you know, Brother Shannon and the saints here, they study a lot about the stars and, you know, people's lives and a lot of these things that God have blessed them to see and have an insight into many of these things. So in reading that book of Esther, something struck me how, you know, Esther was a virgin and King Ahasuerus was the king. And it's a book where the king and the virgin came together and was married, you know, became one. So right there, I saw where, you know, Virgo and Leo meets in the book. So it says, I'm going to see something in there. I said, I'm going to preach a message out to that, you know, because the book speaks a lot about the king's wrath, the wrath of the king, the wrath of the king, more than the love of the king, you know. So in there, you know, you take the types of the bride in the Bible, as we preached a message some time back on the principal theme of the New Testament, about all them females in the Bible. But Esther was the one who was the queen. You see, she was the one who was the queen. And, you know, in that book there, as we begin to study it, the Holy Spirit began to bring something out. And I preached a little message tonight, you know, when I saw Esther, her name means star, she's a star. And, you know, being a star, you know, the Bible said the stars were for signs and for times. Right. And her name before Esther was Hadassah. You see, that was a Jewish name, a Hebrew name. But in Persia, she received a new name, which was Esther. And Esther means star. And you know how her life, that great thing that was spoken when Mordecai says, "How don't you know that you are come for the kingdom for such a time as this?" You know? So, in preaching those things, I thought that night I was going to preach something a little different. The Holy Spirit was inspiring to me. So I went to my encyclopedia and was looking up under the section of astronomy. And I saw something there talking about stars. And the Holy Spirit, that's February 19th, you know, gave me a little inspiration. I saw when a star dies and it explodes, become brighter, they call it a supernova. Now, I never used that word before in my life. I never knew what it was. But as the Holy Spirit speaking to me out of the book of Esther, I thought then I would use that for a title. Because when I started preaching the book of Esther, I was preaching, "If I perish, I perish." You know, Esther chapter 4, "If I perish, I perish." And shows that is after she come to that place, then she manifested the full authority of the king. See? So that is where she really exploded into her ministry, see? The star had to die to go for that ministry. So what happened was I went and preached a message February 19th, and you know, sometimes I come and preach something like that in the church, you know, kind of a little strange to the people. Sometimes, you know, use little strange kind of titles. So I says I'm gonna call it a supernova. You know, you're gonna see the look on many people's face tonight because they don't even know what supernova is. They never, you know, hear nothing like that. And so I preached that little message called Supernova, February 19th. So here it was, February 24th, it appeared in the newspaper that the astronomers had seen a star that they had never seen before. And they believed it was a supernova. That the first article that came out, you know, showing the discovery. So I saw it, you know, you preach things and you kind of leave it. I said, "My, isn't that strange?" You know, because here it is that there is, you preach a message called supernova. I was telling the saints, you know, the night when I was preaching, I says, "Well, I've never used this word before. I don't know what it means, but I know God have led me to the book of Esther. I've been preaching since January, and certainly I've been beginning to open, and I've been studying, you know, what a lot of the people who, the scholars that put the Bible together, what they said about the book of Esther. And it was amazing to see how many of those scholars, they thought the book was just fantasy. They thought they questioned the authenticity of a place for that book in the Bible. The only thing they agreed upon was that it showed God providential care. You know, and each of those scholars and the things that God is revealing to us, which I hope to preach in the services. So in case you see I kind of speaking wrong and not getting to certain things in the book of Esther, I'm kind of holding it back, you see. So I just want to kind of give a little testimony about what happened last night. How the Holy Spirit confirmed the inspiration, because when I was cleaning out my office, I wanted to call Brother Shannon. I wanted to come and preach about Esther and the supernova and these things, and about the squeeze and the persecution, the money proposition that Haman had set up. You understand what I'm saying? So then Shannon's letter came. So when the letter came, I said, "Well, isn't this strange? I wanted to call him tonight, and the letter came today, and I hadn't heard from him for a year." I know it was this time last year, around this time, the church was dedicated and invited me up for the dedication. So I was kind of watching those things, you see. So then when I came in there last night, Monday night, I got up there, and we were getting ready to park, we were packing and everything, and I'd stayed up really late. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd finished doing everything I had to do, so I was getting ready to go and sleep. So I knelt down, began to pray a little bit. Nona's going to leave early Tuesday morning, which was yesterday morning, to fly to here. And in prayer, I says, Lord, I says, I remember that day when I cleaned out my office and I desired to call Brother Shannon. And Lord, that same night, my wife came home with a letter. And it was such a confirmation, because in the letter he says, now we are, there are certain parts of the puzzle that we are expecting you to come and help us fit together. You know, Brother Shannon speaks a certain way, and, you know, he speaks with confidence, and he's one of the strangest persons I've met, you know. And, you know, I know many of the saints, I was testifying to Sister Margaret this morning, because I knew many of the saints by the table. I was wondering if they were understanding what was happening last night. So I was testifying to her. I said, I know Brother Tony, which is Brother Tony, I said, I know he understood what was happening. Because when the saints pick up at Columbus Airport, as we were touching on the Columbus Airport, I bowed my head in the seat and pray again. And I said, Lord, I said, look, we're going to go into Columbus Airport now, and I'm going to meet the brothers. But it was you, Lord, that night, when I was cleaning out my office, I prayed that prayer again. And the wife would have said something, and she realized I was praying, and she didn't say it. And then we came out in the airport, and I met the brothers, so we get to talking and so on. And they says, well, we're going to go and eat a little bit, maybe right in Columbus, so after we finish, you could take a trip to the hotel, you could go in your beds and sleep. So we stopped to eat, and, you know, Brother Shannon, you know, he's very quick to talk and pull things out here, you know. So I didn't want to speak on the things about Esther and what I had in my heart until when Tammy Baker and all Roberts and all the things that's happening, you know, and those things that's happening there, and then with Israel, how America found them spying, you know, all this other spying that Israel been spying on America, and wonder found all what is going on in the Middle East, you know, and then what happened in the heavens with the supernova, and then what happened in the spiritual realm amongst us here. So we're kind of testifying to Brother Brian and them in the airport in Atlanta. They were just, you know, talking and just kind of expressing to them some of the things I was reading in the Time magazine coming up in the plane. So when we arrived and we sat down at the table in the restaurant last night, you know, Brother Sean came out. Now he says, no, you know, we expect talking about this. He's saying, you know, the squeeze is going to be on pretty soon, and you have to go on to tell us what's going to happen there when the squeeze comes. And by the way, he said about the supernova. Did you read about that thing with the supernova? We wanted to tell us about it, you know, what these things mean, you know. So he was saying that. So it's the very things that I've been preaching since January in the church. And the very things that I left home. You know, I normally travel much of my books and different things, but I just walk with the notes to preach those messages here. And, you know, I'm going to begin to preach it. You know? So what happened when he began to speak those things, I sat down there like, you know, I was awed. Because I said, you know what? Look how simple God is. As we here, we have the table. We haven't met one another for over a year. And we're talking. And he is speaking something. He said, that is my gift. You know, he said, that's your gift, and you have to tell us what it means. He said, we expect you're going to tell us. So I begin to play like I don't know what is happening. And so I says, what supernova? What is that? I don't know. I said, what about the supernova? He said, don't you know the star in the sky? You know, when a star gets around to fuel and begin to die, to explode, and become sometimes brighter. He said, oh, it sounds all right. You know? You know? So I was kind of watching that, you know? And, you know, maybe some of the saints there with me, they thought, well, maybe I might sort of talk about it. And when they saw me take that kind of attitude, well, they keep quiet themselves, you know, because they know I'm doing that for a purpose. So I was watching, because, you know, we travel and we enjoy one another's company and we love to talk and we, you know, kiddo one another a little bit and we drive around. But, you know, from the time I arrived, I was kind of watching for a confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened in the restaurant last night, I saw definitely that God confirmed Bobby's coming. I want to pray that I prayed the night before, or I felt to pray again when the plane was touching down in the airport. And I went back and said, Lord, that same night when I was cleaning out the office, and I decided to call the brother, and the letter came. And then when I met him and he began to speak these things out like that, and he wasn't like asking, he was telling me. You know? So, what was kind of baffling, I was sitting there and I was thinking, the reason it is so simple, I said, some of the saints there who traveled with me, I said, they must be think I and Brother Shannon might have talked about that on the phone, or I might have write him about it. So that is why he's talking that. Because it's natural, because they know that that's what I'm preaching since January in the church. I haven't stopped yet. I'm still in the book of Esther. So then when he began to speak like normal, it seems, well, maybe they've been talking about that, so they just continue the fellowship. So I was testifying to him this morning. I said, I haven't spoken a word about the brother about none of these things. I said, so Holy Spirit there last night. And it showed that, you know, that there is a unity in the faith. It showed that the same Holy Spirit here is the same Holy Spirit back in Trinidad. And it shows that if we are walking, you know, following the pillar of fire, you know, the people of God is a strange kind of people. And that things are happening now, and it's happening in a realm, you know, the prophet says Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith. And when Jesus was speaking, you know, he says, you know, they always come, you see the Son of Man, delivered in the hands of sinful men. And it was no great big anointed service he's preaching, he's walking and talking with them. Right. Like we were just talking here tonight. Yeah. And he said, you're going to see Jerusalem and compassed with armies. I said, where are you getting that from? But you know, that had to happen in the political realm, but it's already spoken in the scriptures. Right. That the sanctuary shall be destroyed by flood. Right. And Ezekiel, how that those slaughtering angels was going to come and slaughter the people and these things. And then Jesus, knowing he was living in the legs of iron, which was the age when pagan Rome was the political power that dominated the world. And Jerusalem was under Roman dominion. So Jesus could have looked at the scriptures and then look at the events there. And when he began to see, you know, in the political realm, he began to see a national sign coming up. He began to see, you know, the political strategies and this thing was happening, how that general Titus, you know, was coming in the end. He saw that that message was going forth to the church and they couldn't recognize the day of visitation. And he began to pray, oh Jerusalem, if you had only known the day of visitation. He said, because there's the time that is coming when not one stone will remain on this temple. Because he tried to show them who John was, that was Elijah. He tried to identify himself, to search the scriptures, to testify who I am. And they couldn't recognize it, so he began to give them national signs. He began to tell them, he says, you look up at the sky and he says, you know, the sky is red and lowering. And what's going to happen? But if you could only discern the signs of the time. And it showed that the realm that Jesus lived in, because he knew that when he had come to a certain stage in the ministry, what was going to happen? He knew the events that were going to follow, because he knew Messiah must be cut off, but not for himself. And the sanctuary shall be destroyed by flood. So when he saw those things in the scriptures, to the little church, he began to open up to them and tell them. He says, no, let the flight be in winter, not on the Sabbath day, and different things. And he began to point them because he knew what was coming. And then back in this day, the prophet again, when God gave him those seven visions, way back in 1933, and things he saw, he knew that the same God who had given him the visions is the same God who gave John visions to write this book of Revelation. Because John was only writing what he see and heard. And the prophet in his little vision book, what he see and heard, he used to write to. And he was living in the time when the book of Revelation was becoming history. So the things he was seeing as a prophet, he could see where those same things were shown to John, were shown to Daniel, different ones. And he could correctly place out in a period of time what they were seeing, because he living in that time was seeing things in the political realm, in the realm of science, in the realm of religion too. Because he saw a beautiful woman rise in America. Cruel. He said, possibly Catholic Church, which it was. Then he says, he saw Hitler, Eichmann, and them. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to Mussolini in Italy? What's going to happen to Hitler in Germany? He saw the voice, watch the King of the North, Russia. So here was Italy, Germany, Russia, America, invasion. Fascism, Nazism, communism. See? And then he saw the realm of science, what's going to happen. He saw the moral condition, the state of undress. He saw the religious realm, that beautiful woman. He saw then judgment was coming too. And he saw it all was happening. And he knew that if God, those things were shown to him, and those visions, the word of God, then back in the Bible here, in the book of Revelation, there was things laying there. So what happened, as he began to preach his message down through the years, even up to 1965, you'll hear him speaking back about those visions in the territory. Right. He never forgot them, because he kept looking and saw how they were coming in. And even 64, he says, Paul Boyd, that historian, he said, called me up the other day, he showed me popular mechanics, that he heard me speak about that car, the bubble top type of car, how to be controlled by remote control. He said, he told me that they invented it. So he says, you see how the visions are coming to pass? So it means to say that he was continually watching in the realm of science, in the realm of religion, in the realm of politics, what was happening. When John Kennedy was elected, he says, now look how what God showed me those things 33 years ago, way back in 1960, and we're going to tie those things back to the scriptures. And then we're going to bring out his revelation, 1 Kings 17, Elijah, Jezebel in the land, Israel history repeating itself again. And look what is going to happen. Even his very behavior, when he's been rejected and he's going away, going off the, you know, God told him, come off the scene. He says, look at that prophet. He went into hiding by the brook Cherith, where God was giving him spiritual food, while the farmers in the land being rejected. Even his very behavior, all these things, he was tying it in to the rise of that Catholic Church in America. That beautiful woman, wicked in her heart. So he was so in harmony in the time, in the season, and could so correctly place those visions together with the scriptures and bring us to understand the spiritual application of the hour, that we can know what to look for and how to stand. And then he could predict and tell us. He says, look, you're going to see my ministry are fading away. He says, you're not going to get greater, you're going to drop back. You're going to wait for a certain time. He says, and you're going to see the conflict is going to start to tighten up. And you're going to see a press going to come down. And here he was laying out these things because he saw it in the scriptures. And he knew where he had arrived to in his ministry. And the thing is, what he looked at and was able to put in the scriptures, and then God vindicated it, that became the word of God. It was no longer his thoughts or his presuming something. It was God revealing and identifying and placing us positionally in the economy of God, posting us to know what to look for and how to stand. So then these years that have come down after 1987, then nothing has changed in God's program. God hasn't changed his mind about his word. It has just matured. It has just built up to a climax now. Well, it comes like we were the ones he was speaking to. Because many, they have forgotten what he said. They have gone away from what he said. They have missed where he placed the emphasis. They have deviated from the channel that he set them in. They have not followed the line of the word and keep walking that straight line. That if he was here tonight, he'd be looking And those very things. You say, remember I told you so and so and so? Look, it's coming up. Because in 2 Exodus, remember how he says? He says, look at that power is growing. Ramesses, that power is growing. And Moses, he said, political power is growing. He said, here is Moses. That spiritual power is growing. He said, they're both coming to a showdown. Then he says, look at the plan, how it was back in the first Exodus, how to kill those children. He's in the second Exodus, look how they try to kill the children. He's in the third Exodus, look how the plan is to kill them again, but a spiritual kill this time. And then he begins to bring in the money situation. He says, you know, America is bankrupt, look what's happening. Now here, you all live in America. So you all could see the curse that has been placed upon this nation. You all can see the spirit of death, how it moves in. As it progresses and the word of the prophet becomes a reality before your eyes, you who live in the environment could see it first. But what you see is what has been told us. And when we see what was spoken coming to pass, we realize those words of Elijah is not falling to the ground. Though it lingered for a season, God is watching over it and is bringing everyone to pass in its season. So it makes us realize how late the hour is. And then when these phenomenal things begin to happen, we know everything happened for a purpose. And God always shows those things in the heavens before it happened on earth. And God signs always forerun God events. And especially something that comes to have such an influence, to come to be such a phenomenon, is so widely spoken about, it alarmed the people so much. And the prophet says, he says, look, when the Pope went to Jerusalem, the God showed in the heavens. He said, look at the seven seals, how God showed in the heavens. Look at the opening church ages, God showed in the heavens. He says, what happened? He said, then he puts it in the magazines and the national papers and slip it across the nation. He said, but the people cannot read the handwriting on the wall. Amen. He said, God describes his time by a sign, and he would not let us go without understanding, without giving us a sign to know the time that we are living in. Amen. He said, even Napier, them ducks grew up, they're born in a pond, like these ducks here, born in this little pond here in Troy, Ohio, and they're getting ready for a flight. He said, but when that season is coming, inspiration strikes a duck. The chemistry in that duck, he is born to be a leader. You see, he's born not poor like the rest of the ducks, but in him he's built up different. And from the time the cold winds begin to blow across the mountain, now all the ducks there, but it's not striking them that way. But when David strike that particular duck, and he get a whiff of it, he begin to make a strange noise. He begin to give a honk. And those other ducks in that pond, right away, something in them could begin to respond to what that duck is saying. And though that duck have never flew off that pond before, and he's telling them about a place he have never went before. And he's giving them instructions to get together and make ready for a journey. And though many might be cozy and like that pawn, and can't pick up what he is picking up and what he's transmitting to them. And the way for them to receive it is not to pick it up without it being transmitted to them through him. So when he begins to transmit it, they can receive it. And as they begin to journey, you know, they see many mirages along the way. And that duck could tell hot sand from water. That duck is not going to fly along in no mirage that look like a pool of water. You know, the prophet talk about those ducks, how they dive down, they see the mirage, and all of them get disintegrated. He said some fly into a mountain, some end up in England. They never knew that species to be down in England. And when time to come back, they can't come back to the world. You see, they went so far away. He said some wild gander, maybe some hybrid, you know, and brother, he just get carried away. But you see, the Holy Spirit, when these things are coming, this season is changing, and the beat in the symphony is changing. The spiritual weather conditions are changing. Those things strike those ducks. Because when I came, and we're flying. The prophet says, you see a bunch of ducks in a cage. You see, they're going to the slaughter. You see some man trying to use his reasonability and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to transport them this way. We'll get them there quicker. He says, now while they're flying the journey, I would have to rest on certain ponds along the way and feed. They're picking up the nourishment, the vitamins that is building them and preparing them for where they're going to. And the same with us. We are coming along a spiritual journey. You see, because we have a built-in radar inside of us, a super sense that we are falling in the Word. And then the Holy Spirit says, stop on this pond here in the book of Esther. It has certain nourishment there for where you're going. You see, sometimes you say, stop here in Ephesians. In this book here, there's certain nourishment on that pond that you need. If a man tries to maybe feed them something while in a cage, you say, you know, something is wrong. Because by the time they get there, they won't be able to survive. So God has a purpose, a way He's doing everything. As the song was saying tonight, all what he does to us is His love. Everywhere He's passing us, He knows He's passing us. And He's passing us that place for a purpose. Because each place there is something about ourselves that we have to discover is locked up in there. Because we are walking into that perfect realization, from a partial realization to a perfect realization. Where we can stand there knowing as we are known. You see? So, here it is in this season, as these things begin to happen, and God shows in the heavens, then we see strange things happen on the earth around the same time. Look at the prophet, would look at what has happened in the sky, and then look what happened on the earth. And he says, look at the Pope going to Jerusalem just when that is happening there. You see what I'm saying? And the wise men could see that star and say, where is he born king of the Jews? Because something was happening in the earth at that time. You mean say that Saturn and Jupiter came to the constellation of Pisces and that was tied to a little girl carrying a baby in a womb? A girl who an angel had appeared to and showed herself in the scriptures? And showed her destiny, what she was born for? The true angel message, she began to discover things about herself that her mother and father maybe couldn't teach her, that the priest couldn't teach her. And then when that star appeared in the sky, he said, wasn't it strange that just three men saw it when all those observatories were observing the heavens? He said, and isn't it strange that three men were united on the earth when three planets came together in the heavens? God has followed the birth path. You see? So we realize that God in doing things, He lets us know that our lives, our decisions, our association with one another, our fellowship in the Word, our expectations of the promises that God, prophet, have spoken and revealed us out of the Scriptures, it is to happen in this hour and to be interpreted in our lives. It's all connected together. And because it is significant and relevant to us, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He lets us see, He lets us understand, He makes it known to us that we might know the hour that we are living in. And what happened there last night, it gave me such a confirmation within my heart that if we begin by the grace of God tomorrow to preach on the book of Esther, I can assure you, you will see for yourself that these things are nothing but the truth. By the grace of God, I say this, you all have preached to you all in times past, and you all know that I'm not one, you know, on far-fetched things, and I'm sober right here in the Word, the message. So those things, when it appeared in the newspaper, I watched it. I said, I'm not going to say nothing because it must appear again. So I drew the church's attention. I didn't say too much about it. I said, did you realize in the newspapers they had something, they saw in the sky and the scientist says it's a supernova? Well, a few people saw it. Not much didn't see it. Maybe 5 or 6 had read it. Then, the next week, it appeared in the Time magazine in the science section. Just one little page. And it says, a great wonder appears in the southern sky. A wonder has appeared in heaven. No, Revelation 12, a great wonder appeared in heaven. A woman travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. She was fixing to give birth to someone that was conceived on the inside. She was in birth pains. And the political power was working, getting ready to bring a persecution because the red dragon was waiting to devour that baby. The prophet tied it back. He said, just like when Herod tried to kill that child. Right. But that same thing is repeating itself back here again. And he says, when the squeeze comes, watch the third pull then. And he ties that political power coming back when that bride is travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And here, as we look and we see how those things, what it is heaping up to be. Because the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. See? And Christ in you is the hope of glory. And the sufferings of this time will be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. And if the heavens declare the glory of God, and that glory is being revealed in you, then wouldn't that glory that's been revealed on you on earth be declared in the heavens? Because Jesus Christ is the glory of God, and the church is the glory of Jesus Christ. Then watch. So then I saw that, then the brothers in Tucson invited me to come and preach dedication. I went there last month. And when I left, I was going to preach on Esther there also. So I was going to Tucson. And I was traveling the plane. And I begin to prepare a little message on a great wonder has appeared in heaven. And I call it, the heavens declare the glory of supernova Esther. They call it 1987, because the first one for 87. You see? But Esther is a star that had to die before it could explode into power. First she was an unknown girl. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But then she came into oneness with the king. And she began to come brighter and brighter and brighter until her power, brother, she showed forth the judgment upon the enemy. She showed forth deliverance to her people. With all the glory of the king, the two had become one. Whatever she spoke, the king was performing it. It just showed her speaking. He said, you ask it, Esther, whatever you ask. And she was speaking it, and whatever she spoke, he was performing it. So then, while preparing that message, I said, well, look, let me see if it appeared in any other magazine. So I landed in Miami. I went to the newsstand to look at some Discover magazine. I remember the last time I got one from Brother Doug here. When the astronauts was there up in space and so on, and he'd give me one of the science magazine. So I remember, so Discover shows a lot of those things. Maybe they may have something here. So I went, I looked at it, didn't see any. And right there in bold on the Time magazine, you saw the big exploding star. I had bang. Many said, I have it there, but I don't want to bring it tonight. So it had it there, and it was on Time. Time was the one, because it's for such a time as this. See, a star is for a sign and a time. And when it appeared there, I said, no, it's confirmed. Now I know what it is, because it appears. Now remember, it says, that light never has struck the earth. It do appear in none of the astronomical charts. That is how they knew it is a discovery. They discover a star. You know what I'm saying? And all them great astronomers who look at the sky, the heavens, God Bible. they couldn't see that star. And they look at this Bible and they couldn't see no reason why Esther should be in India. It's a phenomenon to them. It don't make sense in what to put it in there for. It shows God's providence. But you can take many things in the Bible to show God's providence. In the book of Exodus, you see God's providence where he saved Moses and he come back and deliver the people. In the book, in the Gospel, you see God's providence where he saved Jesus, where he came and delivered his people when Herod tried to kill all them. You know, you could see Atalia when she tried to kill all his seed with Joash. So it's there in the Bible. If God wanted to show his providence, but they have to find something to agree that authentic, it's supposed to be there. But you see, Esther means star. And the secret of the book that the Holy Spirit spoke my heart and revealed to me was the position of the book. Because Esther is put in the Bible between Nehemiah and Job. And the Old Testament, Ezra and Nehemiah had appeared as one book in the Old Hebrew Old Testament. Because it is the going back of the Jews back to the homeland to rebuild the temple and wait for Messiah. And Job is the resurrection. And the sixth trumpet sounded to gather the Jews back in the homeland, waiting for the seventh trumpet. And the seventh trumpet is the resurrection, the last trump. Time shall be no more. And there's a mystery between the sixth and seventh trumpet. A star that appears between Nehemiah and Job. I don't want to talk no more about that too much. See, you all want to pull it out of me tonight. You see, so I'm going to try to lock that up a little bit. So, you see, I just kind of want to speak to you a little bit so you could pray for me. You know, the next couple of days, you know, because I believe that God has put it in my heart. I saw God confirm it last night. And when we come from tomorrow night to speak these things, I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to really do something. It's not just Easter time we visit. God make us plan things like that in the humanistic realm. But because we are God's people in the spiritual realm, it reveals that it is already prearranged. But as the Bible says, it came into Moses' heart to go and visit his brethren. It came in. These things come like a thought. It come into your heart. It make you miss somebody. I feel to go and look for so and so. I would like to pass and see how they do now. I'd like me to call them up. And you think that what you're expressing is care and concern and bodily love. You know? But really, it's really God has a purpose. Is God put it in your heart? Is God wants you to be together at a certain time? Because even for such a time as this, that God has appointed a time that we would fellowship around those things and that we can edify one another by the grace of God. I mean, last night just coming, Brother Shannon was just speaking to me all the way from Columbus to here, and I mean, the things that he spoke, you know, is so remarkable. You know, I've always seen that somebody duck, you know, he duck of a certain honk. And, you know, it could pick up certain things. And you see how the Holy Spirit is working among his people in such a simple way that we begin to get into the atmosphere. And maybe I come and speak some of the same things around another angle. The way God may use it to bring something out. It may just quicken what has been spoken here to you. What are the things in your heart? The things that you read about, you know, it's something there. That as the different pieces come together, as the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh and all is laid there, we can see exactly the mystery of Messiah and the earth, what is happening. So, you know, here I was looking in the scripture and see Paul, as he says here, he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And you know, as Barham says, an announcement is made in the heavens, a seal open, a mystery unfold, and the messenger on the earth catches that mystery, and Paul being the first messenger, when that first seal opened, he was catching that mystery. And he was catching that mystery of Christ, that he was laying it as the foundation. He said, I have laid a foundation that no other man can lay, which is Jesus Christ. And I want to kind of maybe just follow the scriptures here a little bit, that we can see what Paul's experience and revelation was, because he says, the prison of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And how he had the gospel committed to the Gentiles. And he says, these things that was hidden from the sons of men in other ages, you know, like Luther and Wesley and Pentecost in other ages, it was hidden from them what we are seeing now. What is being revealed to us now. The prophet saw the whole thing, but he didn't live to see the whole thing manifested. He revealed it, but he never identified the fulfillment of all that he revealed. Because there were some things, the history was going to take a few years to be made. Because the part that we are living out now, he revealed it by the word, but he didn't identify it being fulfilled. But because it is becoming history in our lives now, the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit that spoke to the prophet, is speaking to the bride and saying the same thing that he said to the prophet. There is something that strikes me, but Abraham said the revelation comes to one man for the whole age. And through the light is spread through the ministry of others who are faithfully taught. He says, and everyone who hears is not getting the private revelation or collective revelation, but is only receiving and hearing what the messenger have already said. See, and then he also says in another page 2 to the 27 church ages, he says, and God in every age raised up helpers for those messengers. He's a wonderful man who was able to keep and bring the church back to the word every time. And I believe that those men who are faithfully taught, which we the fivefold ministry believe and we are strive continually to see that in our lives, that we, as we are trying to be faithfully taught and keep reiterating what the messenger have already said. Yeah. And that the church could keep walking because the voice kept saying, stay in line. Yeah. While the church was going up. Right. You see? And that's what we're trying to do by the grace of God, by speaking these things and holding that same vision before us. That we can't turn aside and look at something else, but we keep our eyes on that and keep walking. And, you know, looking at Paul as he even spoke of Titus and different ones in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it is, he called him, he says, Titus and these others with me, he said, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. He said, if you have any question about them, he said, God, have, let's be fine, 2 Corinthians 9. I just want to talk to you tonight, you know. 2 Corinthians 8, well, is what it is. And verse, maybe we can verse 16. But thanks be to God who put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward or very diligent, of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and to show our ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show you unto them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. And you know, seeing then that the confidence that the messenger of that age could look at those helpers, amen, so simple that the Bible didn't even call the names. didn't even walk with Jesus in the flesh, but yet he said there was messengers chosen by God, you know, to preach that same message, which we see ourselves as those that believe the message of the messenger and trying to keep that message alive to the elect and keep it effective in their hearts in this hour and keep walking into the fulfillment of all that it promises. And knowing that when the seventh seal opened, just like the first seal opened, an announcement was made in the heavens. He says, a great blast. And when the seals open, he says, was a blast of thunder and seven seals open. He said, in Arizona, was a blast of thunder and seven angels who were the messengers sent to reveal those seven seals, which was the secret that was laid inside the pyramid. So we see then that here was the prophet. He was catching that mystery of the seventh seal, and he says, it unfolded to me in a threefold manner. He said, I will tell you a fold of it. He says, one fold unfolded today, one fold unfolded yesterday, and one fold passed in an unknown language. He said, but be you ready, it's going to come back around. He says, now don't put no interpretation to it, otherwise you'll only go further with it. You're not supposed to get it. He told us that in 1963. He says, but the time when you have reason to see it, when you have reason to see it, he said, God will make it known to you. He said, but be obedient, obey these simple things. And when those deeper things come back around, he's going to show it unto you. Because he knew that just like the Pentecostals, he tried to teach them supernatural things, and they put a carnal interpretation in it, and they went into sin. And he couldn't teach babies algebra. He says, you have to teach them the ABCs. And God showed me, he's trying to lace that little baby shoe with the half-inch lacing with a 1/8 eyelet. And we see the same thing now. When we are born, we don't born big men. We born babies. And we desire the sincere milk of the word. And we grow up. Now, what's something? So here we see then, the same way we come along the message, and we couldn't understand in the beginning many things, but as we obeyed the word and walk in it, we saw more unfold. But during that time, for the past 24 years or so, since the seven seals opened up, we see that the same way that the Bible was sealed, and when the time came for the book to be opened, there was over 1,000 denominations, over 1,000 interpretations of the book. They was not supposed to understand it until the day of the seventh angel. It's going to be sealed up until that time. Now, how did God seal the word? He sealed it by the way he spoke it. He didn't put some bands and seal it up. The prophets were speaking, and they were speaking, and what they spoke and what they wrote was the seal. The book was sealed, and the way God unsealed it was by when the prophet came and he anointed the same ones who spoke it. That same pillar of fire came to Moses, who wrote the Old Testament, came to Paul, who wrote the New Testament. That same pillar of fire came back to reveal the entire Bible. So the same anointing that came upon those men to speak it came back upon one to speak it again. And the way they spoke it, in one season it was sealed, and when it was spoken again another season, it was opened. You see? And here it is, the prophet, we see in his message, part of his message, he sealed it up. He revealed part of his message, and it's very plain, but part is sealed up. And people tried to tamper with it, and during those 24 years, we see over 1,000 interpretations of the message, just like there's 1,000 interpretations of the Bible. But God had promised it was going to make a cycle and come back around. And be ready. And when you have reason to see it, you will see it. Not by trying to understand it and not trying to put an interpretation in it. The revealer will reveal by interpreting it in your own life. And give you the testimony of Jesus Christ. It will not be you talking about something you read. You will be making what people read and trying to explain. You will be the history. That will become history in your own life. You would be the interpretation of it. You'd be the matching piece to those things. And here we see, when that cycle came around, it came around only to the ones to whom it was predestinated to fulfill these things. And that's why you find the message churches in so numerous, so learned, so schooled, but yet so far away from the promise. Nothing is happening. No inspiration. Nothing is happening among the people. They're confused. They go this way, they go that way, they go another way. But where that inspiration has come, as we turn and come among the elected seed, you see life coming forth.
Amen.
You see the interpretation, you see the manifestation of what was spoken in word form now coming in reality form.
Right.
And this is what we believe, that God, what he sealed in the message, because the way the prophet sealed many things is by the way he spoke it. Because the same way God sealed the Bible. And then when that same one comes back around and speaks it, then God unseals the same that was spoken. Because there's part of the message people will wrestle with. And they wrestle with it until their own destruction. I say, our brother Paul, brother Branham, the wisdom given unto him, he spoke many things, and the unstable, they wrestle with it unto their own destruction. Some things had to be understood. See, some things that the intellectual mind cannot figure out. But then, he said, the divine revealer is the Holy Ghost himself. And when he, the Holy Ghost, is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will bring back things to remembrance. He will teach you all things, and he will show you things to come, which is prophecy that was laid in the message. That when those things are coming to pass, we could see it being personalized right now in our very own midst. And I believe that is exactly what we are in, what we are caught up into in this very hour, and that in the next few days of services and the talent we have here, we'd like to share some of those things that we believe that the Holy Spirit have blessed us back in the church there, as we also have come to receive from you and in fellowship that we can receive. Because we know that while I'm here, I'll be preaching. He'd only be introducing. So, but while we could sit and fellowship, we come to really draw to that we can receive and be edified, because this is the hour when the body is being fitly joined and compacted. That what is happening at this present time, that the Holy Spirit have come back around, and all these things that are happening is very significant, and it is in the continuity of the prophet's message and the thing that you have spoken. That the very same God, with the same kind of people, in the same kind of hour, God have not forgotten what he has said. I was looking at the video of Billy Paul there in Lima, Ohio. It was the last month, I believe it was. And he came there and he's testifying to the people, God have not forgotten. And God have not forgotten this. And he's showing how God didn't forget the little girl in the corner with the little shoebox. And here we are by the grace of God. Maybe not as no big meeting, and not as great as those brothers, but we just want to say, God have not forgotten also. Amen. Here in Troy, Ohio, to you, things you have spoken, the message to the prophet, and these things that are happening, that God is mindful of us. And the Holy Spirit have confirmed last night, when Brother Shan spoke those things there, he spoke exactly what was in my heart, and he kept in the car saying, he said, even speaking about a bill here over the CB, he says, no, he don't want to say nothing because he's afraid that I make him speak out his message. You see, he says, I'm trying to pull on him here, but he wouldn't say anything. Because all that time, I'm just thinking, I said, Lord, I said, look how simple you are. And when I spoke to you about a Sharon by the table, and I says, I told him, I says, you know, God is so near. So when he revealed himself, we still even had him a little further off. If he didn't reveal himself so close. And you know, when the sisters came tonight, he said he wanted them to sing about Enoch. And while they were singing, they said that Enoch walked with God. It was just like in that time, we can even hear him breathe. So close, you could even hear him breathe. And I want him to breathe upon us.
Amen.
Amen. I want the breath of the living God to moving upon us. That quickening power to quicken our minds to His promise, quicken our lives this age, quicken this body and bring it in such subjection that the word could have preeminences. It could be so expressed that this time when that red dragon come, better watch that word bind that mamba in a knot. Amen. There would be a bride here tied that manifests that full authority. And the very two things that he spoke about the squeeze and he spoke about the supernova. And the very two things it was laying in the book of Esther, I searched all over the message. All I could find was one paragraph in Marriage and Divorce where Brother Bram says, you know, remember that time at the Ahasuerus when he put away the queen because she wouldn't come when he called her? And then the next place was in the marriage of the Lamb. He says, no, Esther didn't want anything other than what the chamberlain had given her. And he spoke maybe for about 5 minutes from Esther. And I couldn't find nothing else. Out of the 1,000 tapes and all the books that they have and the mess that I had and scanned through, I said, my brother, I hardly spoke anything about Esther. And when I look inside of there and I searched between Nehemiah and Job, between the fig tree pulling forth its bud, Israel go back in the homeland, the resurrection, between the 6 and 7 trumpets, which is Revelation 10, the 7th seal. You see, where the headstone is come down and those 7 voices spoke, and that church rejected that message, and that message would not call another bride. And I saw those things laying in there. That star that is rising, how it began to die and explode. And I saw that star in the heavens appear at the same time. And I saw people on the earth going through experience at the same time. And I saw in the Bible, the scripture shows that those things are going to happen at the same time. And when I saw it in the world, I saw it in the heavens, and I saw it in the people on the earth, I know that these things are the truth. So by the grace of God, I'm going to just cut it off there. It's hard to not to speak what you don't want to speak when you're trying just to let you know. I say these things because I want you to know that our coming, as God put in Brother Shan's heart to invite me, and God put in my heart, I wanted to call him. And then last night there, he just spoke it out like that. Because when I left, saints could bear me witness, Sunday morning, I was preaching. And I told them, I took the Time magazine and the Supernova to the pulpit. Because since I left them to go to Tucson, I hadn't preached in the pulpit. We had the brothers from Africa. And I didn't get to preach during that weekend, the last weekend. And I had the magazine which I got when I came to the States last month. So I took it and I showed it to them to prove to them the inspiration of the things that have been taught for the past couple of months in the church. And I says, I'm going out to Ohio and I'm going to get together with a couple of astronomers. And it's kind of, I told the church, I said, you know what I'm talking about? Because you see, all those astronomers, which is the ministers, they look at the Bible. And there's a revelation being revealed in that Bible. If there's a revelation being revealed in that Bible, a star, there's a revelation of a star in this Bible being revealed on the earth too. You know what I'm saying? And when that light comes to the man's telescopic sight, he was on the mountaintop. He was no great, learned, renowned astrologer. Just some little student astrologer. But what he saw there, he had to prove it was a discovery. I only checked the charts, the photograph of the heavens by many of the renowned ancient astrologers. He saw that never appeared in those charts. You know what I'm saying? So then he spoke it, and then they had to check it out. And when they check it out, they realize it truly was a discovery. And it was becoming so bright. But it says, we don't know much about these things. And this one acting kind of funny too. That's what the scientist said. So when I saw the things, I say, I know I don't understand. They cannot understand. But we can understand. And by the grace of God, I know we have a tremendous time ahead of us. And I trust that it would so encourage you in the faith and so confirm the faith that you have received. few days of fellowship, we could be gathered together in heavenly places. And looking forward for a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the Word amongst us. So really appreciate being here tonight. And to speak these things, because I believe that just like Paul is a dispensation allotted to him, I believe that a dispensation allotted to us. The Son of Man being revealed between the Son of God and Son of David. And there's also part of that dispensation, a mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. And there's a revelation of a fold of that message that was an unknown language that had to come back around to reveal us. And here it's been revealed to us. And we want to make all men see the fellowship of this mystery. And that very mystery is us. Because what Paul was seeing is that it was now being revealed to them. But they were the interpretation of that mystery. It's Christ was in them being revealed. In another form. It's in another way. And there were scriptures in the Bible. As it took Galatians. He said, God come and reveal himself, his Son, me, that I might preach him to the Gentiles. Because Simeon had blessed Jesus and says, a light unto the Gentiles. Isaiah, a prophet, in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, had says, there shall be a light unto the Gentiles. And Simeon took that prophecy and applied to Jesus Christ. But Jesus never went to the Gentiles. And he told the Jews and the apostles, he said, don't go to the Gentiles. Right. Go to the lordship of the house of Israel. Amen. When the Syrophoenician woman came, he said, I am not sent to you. I'm sent to the lost sheep. Right. In Romans 15, Paul says, Jesus was a minister to the circumcision. But when he was getting his commission from the pillar of fire, God said, I will make you to be a vessel, to bear my name to the Gentiles. To turn them from the powers of darkness to salvation and these things. And then the revelations that were being opened up to him, he saw he was able to present the gospel from a different way. So the way it was being presented to the Jews. That the Gentiles didn't have to go through all them rituals and these things that they were trying to subject them to. And the revelations of election, foreknowledge and predestination, justification by faith and all these things. He saw his message was direct and specifically designed. That here it was, when it was preached to a people, he found out that they could open, the door was being opened. And you know in Acts 13 where the Holy Spirit comes and say, separate me now, Paul and Barnabas, for the work. Because though it was spoken by the pillar of fire, yet he had never begun that work until the prophecy came. For it was the time and season. Because they were going to the Jews first, and then he dusted his feet from the Jews. And he said, no, we go to the Gentiles. And when he went out there, he quoted the scripture that he will be a light to the Gentiles. So Christ never went, but the life of Christ being revealed now in Paul was how that prophecy was going to go to the Gentiles. And Paul was looking for that change to come in the ministry because he knew it was spoken in Isaiah. He knew Simeon spoke concerning Jesus. And he knew when the pillar of fire spoke to him, he spoke of a ministry to Gentiles. Right. So when that day came and he saw the Gentiles receiving it more gladly, he dusted his feet. He knew the ministry was going to change. He knew a new part of the world was going to be opened and presented. And he saw the continuity of the ministry of the Son of Man. Because everything wasn't fulfilled right there in the life of Jesus. The part was left back. And he said, it was now being revealed. Yeah. And I must make all men see the fellowship of this mystery. Yeah. And here he was bringing forth that revelation as we see, we who knew, the prophet says, they're going to make a cycle and come back around. Yeah. And we were looking forward for a change too. When the Holy Spirit would speak and unseal what the prophet had sealed up there and say, doing Christ in typical, you can't get it. But when you have reason to see it, many people may have reason to see it, but we may have reason to see it. And when he begins to show us these things, then we realize exactly what's happening. Not what the Holy Spirit did back there, what the Holy Spirit is doing now. The same unchanging God, with the same kind of people, with the same kind of faith, in the same kind of hour. And all those things that Elijah spoke is not falling to the ground. God, the same God who spoke it, watched over that word, and is ready to bring it to pass in the lives of its elect. And that's what we believe is happening. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes over the prayer. Heavenly Father,
we could go on speaking whole night just testifying of what is happening. Lord, we realize that we are members of one body. Part of the body being formed in one place, part in another place, part in another place. But Lord, when that hour comes, the same Holy Spirit that predestinated them in different lands, Lord, the one who reveals the word to them out of the same message, the one that is uniting them in the faith, the one that, Lord, uses them to confirm one to the other that is the same life within them, the same hope that they hold, the same expectation that they have, the same experience in the very same season. Their body is craving the same vitamins, craving that nourishment, because, Lord, it's the same promise they are bringing forth. And Father, these things become so much more real when those of like precious faith is gathered together. When the elect meet the elect, and Lord, they come together just like a hand and a glove. It just dovetails, as the prophet says. And Father, as we try to testify tonight of how we saw your Holy Spirit work last night, in such a simple way, our normal everyday lives, is right in there we see the scriptures unfold. It's right in there we see the simplicity. It's right in there we see how you are working it out, Lord. When Mary had to go back into Bethlehem, it was taxation being called. She had to journey back like any other person who used to live in Bethlehem, going back to the native land. Under the same ordinance, first pass, had to travel maybe the same route going. But Lord, as she looked up in the sky and she saw that star, it was testifying of something she was carrying in her womb. Something that was forming inside of her and was fixing to be made manifest. She felt a little different about it, Lord. Maybe the others never even noticed. They were there complaining. But she was pondering certain things in her heart. And she could see, oh God, how all these things tied together. When she was rejected and couldn't get into the inn, even that, it was the working of the Holy Spirit to get them to go in the manger. Such a strange way, Lord. When she was speaking of the fulfilling of the prophecy to Elizabeth, it was just her everyday life that she was speaking. But they were predestinated to manifest that word. They were the very expression of that word. They were the word for the age, the very thoughts of God expressed in flesh. They were the Bible now in a manifested form. And Father, we see the same thing. History is repeating itself again. I pray, dear God, that you will just deal with us in such a way these coming days, and in our times of fellowship, in our times of prayer, in our times of service. Every time we spend together, Lord, your Holy Spirit was just like when you took your disciples up in that mountain that time and you sat with them and you talked with them, Lord. Lord, so let it be with us. Believing that, as it were, you have taken us up into a mountain where you talk things privately with us, not flirt us, Lord, where you gather us up close to you and whisper things in our ears. Things that are not strange to us, because, Lord, these things, it come normal to us, Lord. We are supernatural people, and the supernatural is natural to us. To the natural people, it may seem supernatural, but to you, nothing was supernatural, Lord. That was the natural, that was the normal everyday life, to live in that world of perfect faith. And so it is to us who are part of you. Bless your servant here, Father. You know the love that we have in our hearts, and the appreciation, the high esteem that we hold in him. The people that we have come to know here, the inspiration that we recognize that have come amongst them to write songs and give revelations and things just we see among our own selves back home, showing the same kind of people. Lord, to see how you have brought them together and hear the testimonies of the past life and how you have worked with them down through the years and what you have done for them and how you have kept them together, the powers to try to separate them and the things they have gone through. Lord, we know it is you forming yourself here. So we pray, Father, that you would just have your way amongst us and you would show yourself in such a way that we would give you praise and honor and glory and help prepare us for the days that lay ahead and what is coming. But when that time comes, we'd stand, everyone knowing exactly where it's at and what is your will for us. We might know how to conduct ourselves. We commit ourselves into your hands now, thanking you, Father, for the opportunity to testify these things that we have spoken tonight. Pray, dear God, that it would mean something to your people, would cause them to expect, Lord, you to do exactly what's in your heart, that we can make ourselves ready and available for it. That we will not miss it, Lord, or whatever it is that you will do for us, the Lord, it will cause us to be closer drawn to you. Grant it, Father. We ask these things tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. This one time, Brother Shannon, to come back.
Yeah, really. You know, past history would be good enough to put an expectation in our heart, expecting good things through the ministry of Brother Niall. But, you know, I never cease to be amazed at the grace of God and the sovereignty. You know, I went weak. You know, you all knew of my intention to invite Brother Niall, and I went weak, and my wife would ask me over and over and over again, have you written Brother Niall? Have you written Brother Niall? And being the good procrastinator that I am, you know, just, I get around to it. You know, I get around to it. And I just think how, even in what we think of as our own weaknesses, you know, God is in that. You know, if I had written the letter any other time than when I had, he wouldn't have got it any other time than when he got it. And it's like, we go on and we read the Bible and we see these people and how God, in the life of all of them, was typing himself. And you know that David, I mean, he went to the bathroom. You know, David, he ate, he got sick, and he had the flu. And David, I'm sure, didn't think, realize what he was doing. But God knew what he was doing in David's life. And we don't know. I mean, we don't fully comprehend, you know, even our weaknesses, even our everything. It's like, but how could God say he causes all things to work for the good? See, we always look at that, because, you know, as a hope of getting us out of trouble all the time. But the truth is, that's a byproduct. He's able to say that only because he knows that all things are ordered of him.
Yeah.
That's why he's able to say, oh, they'll all work out. You know, this problem you've got yourself into over here, don't worry, it'll work out because all things are my doing. And I don't hear Brother Dial say when, you know, and you know me too, and I walk away from the restaurant and talking to him, and he makes me feel like a fool, you know. I'm rarely intimidated by a Leo, believe me. Rarely. And I think, you know, he made me a fool, you know. He won't say nothing. I don't know what he's thinking. You know, here I am, and I told him last night in the car, I said, now, I don't have any discernment. I'm not a Scorpio, I'm not a water sign. I can't pick up. So what I do is I just bug people. I irritate them. To make them react, to make them, you know, and then I find out what's in them. And him, I just yod and yod and yod, and it's just, you know, boy and Luke, he don't want to. And I know he's struggling. I know he's fighting to keep that cool because, in spite of the feelings that I have that I'm making a fool of myself, I know that in my heart, I know what I want. I want to know God. I want to know God, and above all, you know, Jesus said he had this testimony. He does only that which pleases the Father. Well, what is that? Well, that's that world of perfect faith that he walked in. Because only faith pleases the Father. So only as long as I am walking in faith will I please the Father. And you know, I might walk out there and I might be me, and I might walk away and say, oh, you fool, why can't you keep your mouth shut? But I catch myself and I say, no, I disbelieve. I don't understand, and I don't understand why I'm the way I am. I just believe. I believe that God is in my life. I believe that God is with it. I believe God's doing something. I believe that we're an ordained people, and I can't explain. I'm sure David didn't know what he was doing. I still don't know, and I've often told my people, we don't understand here, but on the other side, when he opens our understanding, we'll see all the little details of how we express him. And it, you know, all the, you know, the very tiny things that we do, or the things that we don't do, or the, you know, the problems that we have, he'll show it all. He'll get, and we're going to sit back and we're going to say, did I really do that? But, I mean, was I really expressing him like that? And, no, he was. Yeah, well, I wasn't doing it, but he was expressing himself in me. And, but, you know, I'd like to say, I don't think we needed tonight's message to, it just punishes us to have to wait till tomorrow night for it to begin. And he kept getting back at me and for last night. And but I am under expectation, and I do thank the Lord, and I, you know, that inspiration for the season, and I know that it's got to come, and I'm just very excited. Brother Bean, would you come? And now's the time to sing, you know, and to, you know, you know, this week with Susie here and with the Trinidad singers that we won't get an opportunity to hear again, probably on the other side. The services may go a little longer than what we're used to, but I warn you to pray up so your body should not grow tired. I mean, you ought to be ready that no matter how many songs we have to sing at the opening of the service, we will be able to make it through. But I want so much to rejoice and thank the Lord in worship for what he's doing in our midst. You know, it's probably the only way we have of paying him back. You know, it's the time that we appreciate him, including us. What an elect group it is, folks. You know, I was talking to Pam today, and I explained to her, you know, Jesus healed the blind, the lame, the halt. He raised the dead. He fed 5,000 several times. I said, Pam, do you realize how many waited, obeyed him, and waited on the Holy Ghost? 120. That's all. That's all. And it's like a real look of, really? You know, how can that be? Because they always look back and glorify what was. You know, that's why Jesus said, you know, you garnish the tombs of the prophets, but you put them there. And the people can't comprehend, but to be able to begin to reveal to someone what is real, what really happened back there is happening right now. And I more or less told her, I said, you're facing Jesus Christ right now. It's me, Pam. It's me. God sent me to Troy to call you out. That's why you can't get away from me. That's why I fight you. That's why, you know, it's because it's me that you must respond to. And so, you know, I just love God. So it was a song. You know, and
So, we all stand. I'm sorry we didn't have Fairborn with it tonight. I'm sure we probably gave it too short of a notice and it probably had plans. But I'm thankful for Brother Allen and Brother Parnell coming, and I hope they'll be able to be with us every night. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have filled our hearts tonight. And you continue to overwhelm us by your love. It is so hard to comprehend that you can be so good, that you can be so perfect in all of your ways. Lord, how can I ever doubt? How can I ever choose my thoughts over yours when yours are so great? They're so perfect, so well thought out. Lord, I'd be a fool to choose my own way. Father, thank you. I don't know why you chose me. Lord, I feel so privileged. I feel like I have not a problem or a care in this whole world, because I know that you chose me. And I know what you chose me for. I know what awaits me. Father, there is nothing in this world, no care, nothing, that is worthy to even be considered to that glory that is to be revealed. Oh, Lord, how could we ever murmur and complain? How could we ever feel sorry for ourselves? Can we not see, Lord, what you have done, what you have made us? We have the riches of the world. One day this whole earth shall be ours. How can we complain? Oh, God, forgive us. Lord, continue to be with us tonight and bless our fellowship. And let the people not be shy. Father, we thank you for the food that you have prepared for us. May you bless it, sanctify it for our bodies. Lord, I know what it's like to be away from home, and may you just bless the saints from Trinidad, and Lord, let them feel good just like they were at home, and let the food sit well with them, and just bless us. Father, we love you. We know that you're the reason we're here. So Lord, continue to be right beside us. Walk with us, Lord. Speak to us. Let us know that it's you speaking. Oh, God, we love you, and we give you the thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You're dismissed. Please go downstairs in the main.